The one consistent theme of the Bible is the developing grandfather from Genesis to Revelation of God's great work in the creation and redemption of all things through his Son only, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to seek after knowledge about the Lord, and the Bible is the number one main source that we have on this earth that can teach us about God and all of his ways. How should we study the scriptures? When we study the Word of God, we must start with the proper approach, that of prayer and reverence. If we do not have the right attitude and mindset, we will not get much of God's Word, because our will get in the way of his. The AA approach. What is it? It's an acronym standing for A, ask the author. Pray. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Psalm 119:18. This is essential first step of always. Always starting anything, especially the study of the Bible and communication with God. Ask God in prayer to be with you and help you understand what he is telling you. A, attitude. Be humble and willing. Have a good attitude based on seeking Christ rather than seeking self. Our minds must be clear and childlike before him, because when you read his word, you are standing before the face of God, the holy God. So adjust to a good attitude and reverence for God and his word. Paul says to those in Berea, there were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the words with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Acts 17:11. Avoid jumping to conclusions. Don't let your feelings carry you away. Remember, since Jesus spoke and the Bible writers wrote primarily for the people of their day, always consider the historical, geographical, and cultural setting of the passage you are studying. Also, the New Testament must be interpreted in the light of the Old Testament and vice versa. The Old Testament is promise and the New Testament is fulfillment. Both complement each other. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Are you spending time reading and studying the Bible, the Word of God? Thank you.
Happy Sabbath, Church. Today we're going to be learning about the unity of God and the Trinity. As Christians, we worship the one true God, and yet we believe that Jesus was also God. We are asked, how can this be? We also believe the Holy Spirit is an individual being, our comforter and our helper. Again, we are asked, how can this be? Is not the Spirit of God just one part of God? To truly answer these questions, we must first understand what the word one means. The dictionary states it in this way. One, being a single entity, unit, object, or living being. This is what we mostly commonly use, the word as one, in present time period. But the word one also has another meaning. Characterized by unity, undivided, they spoke with one voice. This is the meaning as used in the Bible to describe our one God. The unity of God, the three in one, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The definition of Trinity is a group consisting of three closely related members, also called triunity. In the scripture there is as one no single term by the three divine persons are denoted together. Another other than God, the word trius also, which of the Latin word Trinitas, is a translation. is first found and used by Theophilus of Antioch about 180 A.D. He speaks of the Trinity of God, the Father, his word and his wisdom. The term may, of course, have been used before this time. The Trinity is the term employed to signify the central doctrine of the Christian religion. The truth that is the unity of the Godhead. There are three persons, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three persons, being distinct one from another, yet unified in attributes, purpose, and will. The Trinity, as stated in the 28 Fundamental Beliefs for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, there is one God, one Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. A unity of three co-internal persons. God is immortal, all-powerful, all-knowing, above all, and ever-present. Thus the Father God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. The persons are co-internal and co-equal, all uncreated and all omnipotent. The central and crucial affirmation of the Christian faith is that there is one Savior, one God, and one salvation, manifested in Jesus Christ, to which there is access only because the Holy Spirit, the God of the Old Testament, is still the same God of the New Testament. As stated in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, there is only one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. For those who believe in the Trinity, emphasis in Genesis 1:26 is the plurality of the deity. Genesis 1:26 says, Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." Verse 27 says, "In the unity of the divine essence, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." God gave man an example in Genesis about God's relationship in the Trinity, in that they were mirrored in a man by the ideal relationship between husband and wife. Two persons coming together for one purpose, but yet there are two people. Most Christians first and foremost uphold the belief that God is one, as stated in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Trinity is formed by three distinct persons, yet of one and the same purpose. Three persons, one God, to distinguish in what way God is one and in what way God is three persons, helps remove the logical contradiction. God is one purpose. Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God in two persons, yet of one purpose. John 14, verse 9 says, "Jesus said to him, 'Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip?' He said, 'He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father?'" John 5, verse 22 says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." John 10:30. "I and my Father are one. The sons cannot be different from the fathers, because it is the fathers. They have but one will. Otherwise, there will not be one God." Examples of God in three persons. John 14, verse 16 to 18 says, "And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it is neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." All members of the Trinity were present at the creation. Luke 1:35. "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that the Holy One is born will be called the Son of God.'" Matthew 3, from 16 to 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All members were there when Jesus was baptized by John. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of age. Amen.'" We are to baptize people in the name of the three members of the Trinity. Some of you could state that the early Seventh-day Adventists did not believe in the Trinity. This is even true for Ellen G. White. But they also ate pork at that time. They came to understand that eating pork was not what God wanted them to eat, but it was revealed to them the truth about the Trinity. Ellen G. White wrote in the following in the Testimony, Series B, number 7, page 62 and 63. "The Father is in all fullness of the Godhead bodily, but is invisible to mortal sight. The Son is all the fullness of the Godhead manifested. The Word of God declares him to be expressed the image of his person. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Here is shown the personality of the Father. The Comforter that Christ promised to send after he ascended to heaven is the Spirit of all fullness of the Godhead, making manifest the power of divine grace to all who receive and believe in Christ as a personal Savior. There are three living persons in the heavenly trio. In the name of these three great powers, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized, and these powers will cooperate with the obedient subjects of heaven in their efforts to live the new life in Christ. Thus, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and yet they are not three gods, but one God. The persons are co-internal, co-equal, and all uncreated and omnipotent. God is one, yet there's three distinctive persons. For Christians believing in the Trinity, this analogy is important with regard to the church, which Paul calls the body of Christ, and whose members are, because they are the members of Christ, are members of one another. Many members, but one body and one purpose. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:21, "For as the body is one and many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ." The Trinity. The Holy Spirit's will cannot be different from the Father's or the Son's because it is their will. They have one purpose. Otherwise, there will not be one God. There will not be Trinity, but rather three gods. The faith of Israel is given in Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And as we are spiritual Israel, it is ours also." Deuteronomy 6:4. Thank you.